Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. All right, so we gotta get through this episode.
What? Fantasy suites are the payoff to horrible hometowns.
Yeah, we got gypped out of one of them.
You knew you weren't gonna get sex out of that one.
I thought there was a moment when he wasn't gonna get sex out of Hannah Ann, but then he turned around.
No way.
If he says one wrong thing, that could be the end of it. But then he talks his way out of it.
That's funny to say. I mean, I'm ready to dive right into Hannah Ann because I felt like I got a lot of clarity on her this time around. It was his to lose. It wasn't his to gain.
Yeah. Well, she's
so you finally got the clarity you were looking for.
Yes. And she is not my husband. I've been listening to a lot of Hannah Brown
talk. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well,
there was no chemistry between them, Hannah and Peter.
She loves him.
Sex.
I don't think she loves him.
No, me neither.
I don't think she, well, she might think, I don't know, she could think she's in love. She's like, what, 22 or something? I feel like my vibe off of her was that she's so into winning. You know what I mean? That she was like, oh, I'm in love with him for sure. Like, this is, everything's going great. She just says the things she thinks, like, he wants to hear.
Right.
And it's not actually, she might not even be totally conscious of that, that's what she's doing. But,
right.
Yeah, the vibe definitely came across to me that it was more about, like, I'm going to win this show. Like, I'm going to do everything I need to do. And then she hadn't really thought about the other half of, like, well, if she does win, then she's supposed to, you know, spend the rest of her life with Peter. And
I think you're giving her too much credit, Caitlin. I think she's calculating enough to know that this could definitely get her to be the Bachelorette. And I don't think she thinks she loves Peter. I think she's playing that she loves him by everything that happened. And I know it's hard when someone says something. It took me a long time. I still have trouble with this. Someone tells you something, so then, you know, I think that must be what they think, even though they're wrong. They're still lying for me.
You started realizing that some people don't say what they mean.
Yeah, but whether they're conscious of that or whether they're out and out lying is hard to really think through because she's being that she's 22. She could totally be thinking that.
Right.
But I can't live in that world anymore where I'm thinking she's possibly just confused. I think she's lying now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's hard to say the word liar anymore. There's so many like words for it. You know how everyone always brings up like Eskimos have so, or whatever, you know. What's the word for it now, Craig? People who live in
Inuit
have so many words for snow. I feel like that's America right now. We have so many words for lies.
Mm-hmm.
Like and yeah, there was no chemistry between them.
Are we talking about this is the fastest we've ever jumped into talking about The Bachelor.
Blah, 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 blah. I knew you were going to start this, but we're already here. Do not backtrack us, please.
Okay, go ahead.
They are totally, to your point, Craig, they are mismatched emotionally.
When did I say that?
No. Just saying that people can be mismatched.
You said to your point, Craig. I don't remember making that point.
Well, your point about people being the possibility of them being mismatched. That's it. That's something you said once.
Last week. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And aren't Victoria F. and Hannah playing two sides of the same coin? Hannah is so nice. And
Victoria F. is doing everything she can to lose.
Yeah. Like, hard to get and not interested. The total opposite. And it
hard
kind
to
of,
get to the extreme. She invented hard to get.
Yeah, she did. If anyone can say that, it's her. Without actually being uninterested. Like, it's very, I love her. She's so good at the hook, sex, and then the baby talk. Like, that's a perfect album name for her. That should be her.
It would be all crew. Baby talk all the time with her.
See, I feel like what's interesting about this, right, is that they both, Hannah Ann and Victoria, have these different angles that they're playing, right? But as of now, they're both working on Peter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, totally different approaches, but they're both effective.
Well, if I were Peter and Victoria, if we're assuming that Victoria F is the third person, the third selection, and we're going on the premise that the third selection is your just for sex selection, then it's all kind of a fall into place. I mean, I think she makes a great third just for sex contestant.
This one convinced me that Hannah Ann was more for the sex than Victoria F.
Victoria. I could see that.
And then it made me think, how many people have gone to the fantasy suite and didn't really want to have sex in that moment? I'm not suggesting rape or coercion or anything like that, but they wouldn't have done it otherwise. And not even to do with TV, just to do with the, because you don't know what happens, but they do it. Because of the pressure. I don't know what that's called.
Well, see, I've always held that when starting off a relationship, if you know you're going to have sex anyway, you might as well have sex now. That's always been my way of thinking.
I think that's like Peter's way of thinking, too. Yeah.
Well, hold on. I think you're being too quick to judge. If you meet somebody and the sparks fly and you like them and you know you're going to date and you know it's going to lead to sex, why not just have sex now?
See, here's the thing for me is that having sparks with someone does not mean to me that we will necessarily date. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Well, I feel like, I don't know if this is unusual at all, and EZR, you can pipe in with your experiences, but for me, I'm usually like, oh, I prefer to get to know the person for, you know, at least a bit longer before taking that next step. Because I'm like, if you think initially, like, maybe there's something there. But I'm always like, I would like to feel much more sure that there's sparks there, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is why, that is the reason, Craig. So listen to what Caitlin just said.
Okay.
Why women wait. Like, that is the only reason. Is because the tension buildup is good for a relationship. And it's good for just healthy mindset. Like, there's so, what you're saying, Craig, I get, like, pragmatically or, like, in theory, it's like, yeah, you're going to, you know, this is going to happen in this frame of time that we're going to be together. Why not start now? Like, that's, it's not like a to-do list thing for anyone else in the world. I mean, a lot of men are like that. I don't,
you can back it
and
up
I know some women like that.
Theory here. It's really around Madison and her self-imposed rule of celibacy, which I could get into now or I could get into later.
Go ahead. I guess we can just start on
it. Here's what it comes down to. As you know, I have a bit of a nihilistic tendency, which sort of dictates that creating arbitrary rules for life really doesn't serve any purpose for the enjoyment of life. So she's placed this arbitrary rule that she's not going to have sex with someone until marriage, based on a book that was written 2,000 years ago during a time when, you know, the rules of society, which are jotted down in the Bible, are very much about controlling a woman's sexuality. And she's following those rules now, 2,000 years later, when women hopefully are in control of their sexuality, at least in the West. So she's placed this rule on herself. To what end? I think about, if you live to be 80 years, if you're lucky, you live 80 years. When you're dying and your life is flashing before her eyes, she's going to think to herself, wow, I had sex with one person. And we don't know what death is like. We don't know what life is like in that last moment, whether it's a car accident or, you know, some prolonged thing in a hospital bed. But I don't know. I would imagine that during that brief moment, I would wish I enjoyed all things that life had to offer. And yet religion tells us that, you know, we're not supposed to lust over things in the material world. And I certainly see the downfalls of greed and lust and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like enjoying sex with a partner. She's holding it over the other people's head as a virtue. I just don't see the value in that. And I think it relates to what we were just talking about, because sex now versus sex later. So it's like, I like getting over that hump early because it allows me to get faster to the things I enjoy about a relationship. Like, I enjoy the intimacy that comes after sex, and I don't necessarily like the build up to it if you know it's going to happen anyway. So do it early, and then you can enjoy even that much more time with the person because you've gotten over that hump. No pun intended.
Isn't your nihilism more hedonism than it is nihilism? Like, you guys correct me as English people.
Because... Yeah, well, I think the two are related. But hedonism, or sex for sex's sake, has always been frowned upon by these power structures, whether it's a religious organization or society's construction. It's always held sex down. And the reason for that is because they want to control women's sexuality. And well, now that we don't, or at least we pretend we don't, we should break out of those structures and you should be able to enjoy the things that you want to do. And if that's sex, then so be it. If it's drugs, so be it. Insofar as you don't steal from others in order to do bad things to others. I just don't see why you would place those arbitrary restrictions on yourself.
I think this goes without saying, but you do know that she doesn't think that once death happens, that's it.
I understand that. I was thinking about that today on the bus ride home. It's like, well, there's more to it in play if she is all in with all aspects mm-hmm. of the religion she's been brought up in. Although I've met enough people that are religious to know that oftentimes it's a pick and choose situation. Well, yeah, I'm sure she believes in the afterlife, but where in the Bible does it say that you're not going to get into heaven if you've had sex with someone other than your
in the Ten
husband?
Commandments?
No, it doesn't. It says the Ten Commandments. Covet thy neighbor's wife. That has nothing to do with sex outside of marriage.
Yeah, I think that's more like an adultery cheating thing than yeah. a
Yeah, well,
it I even mean... says in the Bible, in the Old Testament at least, it says, you know, if your brother's wife dies, you can have sex. No. If your brother dies, you can start having sex with the wife. You just have to spill your seed on the ground. I think the idea is that the New Testament, Jesus, cleared all the rules of the Old Testament. You know, so when atheists point at the Old Testament and say, well, you're a hypocrite here, you're a hypocrite here because you eat pig and you know, wear more than one fiber at the same time. I don't think those rules apply. I think Jesus says the rules start and end with me to kind of clean slate it. But I don't even think Jesus went around and said those kinds of things. So it, again, I think they were constructed by religion, which is the wrapper around the spirituality, to control women. And we know that that's the case here because her dad is talking about how pure she is, which is gross. I think I could go on and on about how she applied these beliefs that she holds, these arbitrary rules she's placed on herself by, for instance, waiting until she was selected as the top three to bring this up with Peter and the others.
Yeah, that's a hard,
I mean, there's a whole mess of problems too.
But okay, the only points I give her is that she said, when she says something like, I'm waiting until my wedding day so that my husband knows I'm his yeah. mind, body, and spirit. That's
mind,
a
body,
very
and soul, yeah.
body. Let's say that's the only part that matters right now. That's a very righteous, virtuous, I don't know, but that's worth something, right?
No.
My problem is that it's restraint. If you don't marry at 19, that's restraint. I think that's virtuous.
I think marriage
is restraint. Virtuous
is restraint.
Huh?
Marriage is a restraint.
Well, okay, but if you're placing these rules on yourself, but then that's
my point is that placing rules on yourself to me is a very odd thing to do when you only get 8 years at it. What if you choose the wrong rules? Now I can think of some rules that aren't arbitrary. For instance, I'm not going to joint file my taxes until I'm married. There's some rules that
Those are society's
follow.
Laws they place
exactly.
on us.
Exactly.
We can change that.
You're going to
We can change that, though. Those
and aren't
are
those
not
arbitrary, too?
Yeah, they are arbitrary.
Right, but if you don't follow them, you get in trouble. So you either vote to change them
There's all kinds
or you
of loopholes.
Follow them.
Yeah, but
no one's keeping you from having sex, at least in our Western society.
Okay,
so why put up a wall there?
My issue with what she said is not that on yourself, because you can make all kinds of rules for yourself. I'm not going to start drinking till 5 p.m.
I know
I'm
you
not
can.
Gonna, yeah, but
I'm just saying, why?
And they're all okay to do.
From in a broad stroke, to me, it's very limiting on life because life is very short to be
what
choosing these rules to apply to yourself that aren't forced upon you.
What bothers me there is that then she says something like, but my husband doesn't have to follow those rules.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Eep.
Right. Yeah. You should think that if you are that way and if you've made all these sacrifices, then that should be exactly
you think you'd want somebody that's made the same sacrifices.
Yeah. And I wonder if it, if Madison's family had had three boys, if they, I mean, they would sound like Luke, right? But Luke P from Hannah Brown right. season. But would they have that exact same thing to say? That's my question with Hannah's religion, Hannah's family. I mean, Hannah, Madison's religion and Madison's family.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this reminds me of, I think I've mentioned this to y'all before, but my sister is an extremely evangelical Christian.
And I don't know if you've mentioned that.
Oh, have I not? Well, she converted, and she is married to the only person she's ever had sex with. And he had had sex with other people before he married her, right? And this became this whole issue in their church when, so they dated for years before they got engaged, but there was an incident where her now husband broke up with her because he had been talking to their bishop, and the bishop had said my sister was not a good match for him because she had been raised outside of the church, and that they had had sex before marriage, right? He's still the only person she's had sex with, but they had had sex before marriage. And so now, you know, she's not brought up in the church. She's had sex. She's a bad match for him, basically. And they broke up for a period of time. But nobody said that my now brother-in-law was, like, going to be a bad match for somebody else in the future because of this. You know what I mean? Like, nobody said it as, like, well, he's also had sex, so I guess he's tainted. You know what I mean? It was just very much seen as, like, well, my sister's the problem here, right? She's the one who's made a mistake. She's led him astray with her, you know, I guess, secularized Catholic upbringing instead of evangelical Christianity.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, they're still together now. They ended up getting married and all of that. But it just always struck me as really, like, really upsetting that the church attitude was very much like, well, throw her aside. She's made a mistake. She hasn't followed the rules, but he's fine. He can still stay in the church family, you know?
And let me ask you this, Caitlin. Is the more sexist thing. That's the more, like, Craig, what you're saying. Isn't that the more troubling aspect at this point? More than self-imposed rules?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could go on and on about the history of religion and subjugation of women in the lower class and the working class and stuff like that. I do have a question for you, Caitlin. Now, I don't want you to put words in your sister's mouth, so let's abstract this a little bit. Someone who's exactly like your sister, do you think when she's, I don't know, let's say 80 and knows she's going to die because she's sick or something and her life flashes before your eyes, do you think there's going to be any, wow, I really missed out on having sex with a lot of cute guys or something like that? Or do you...
I'm just picturing, like, imagining, like, your grandmother or somebody like that on their deathbed, and it's like, my last words are like, oh, I missed out.
Well, remember Titanic, the old woman from Titanic, Rose? She's
but she had the opposite thing, right?
He was the best sex I've ever had.
And she tells, like, a room full of people, including her granddaughter. You know, honestly, I don't, hey, like, my sister's situation, I don't know that she would regret that. I feel like she's very, so they have a kid now. My nephew is 9, and, like, her whole life is her son, right? And I've often worried about, like, what's going to happen to her when he gets older and leaves the house and she has to sort of figure out, like, you know, what's her life purpose beyond this. I feel like that makes me concerned because I don't think I think the way she's lived up until now is very much like, this is the only thing that exists, and hasn't thought much about like, well, will I get a job when my son's out of the house? Like, what will I do?
People have more kids. This is why
some people do have more kids. Yeah, yeah. Like that's what my mom suggested. She was like, well, she should probably just have another kid. So I feel like I worry more about that kind of future in like 10 years or so, mm-hmm. what her life will be like versus what it'll be like in like 50 years or whatever. Like, right. It's like 40 something at this point, if we're going with 80 as the.
I think the life expectancy of an American lowered for the first time since World War II just this last year. I could be wrong, but I
remember reading that. It's the stress. Solve the stress.
Is. Yeah, we're overworked, underpaid, stressed out, well, at war.
Before we get into Madison, I want
to... We've got a long ways to go before Madison.
No, I know. Well, I want to make sure... Well, not really. I don't know if you're being sarcastic. No, you're really bad at it.
Because I tell half-truths.
You're not texting me. You should be saying it with your expression. Before we go into it, I want to talk, since we're kind of on the subject, about the dark ages of the Bachelor franchise. We've talked about this a lot since we're kind of on subject. I was worried that this whole Madison thing, and I guess a continuation of the Luke thing and the Colton thing in a way, would throw us back into the dark ages of The Bachelor, where no one admitted they had sex. And I just want to remind everyone, like, the innuendos that used to happen. They used to say, when they went into the fantasy suite, they used to say things like, some time away from the cameras. We need time away from the cameras. Quality time is what they would call it. And this episode had some innuendos, too. I think he said something like, I feel like I'm going to burst out of my chest. And Hannah Ann said, our love will reach new heights. Just say it. You crazy. Like, it's so. I always think of the wolves and the foxes. Malcolm X quote. Nothing to do with The Bachelor at all. But I would rather someone stab me in the front. You know, I don't like innuendos for what I'm talking about. I'm just really bad at them, especially sexual ones. It took me forever to like understand, but I don't like when they allude to things on shows that are obviously about what they're about. Do not do this to me. So I hope we don't go back into these dark ages.
Easier. If anything, has anyone ever told you that they want to eat a tossed salad? Did you want to say they want to toss your salad?
I knew someone with that tattooed on their mustache line.
What, a tossed salad?
Tossed salad, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So, you know, I know things. I know something. I'm gonna put
something. Where were you hanging out that you met this person?
Oh, Greg.
Oh, there's a biker bar in San Francisco called the Zeitgeist. I could imagine meeting someone with that tattoo there.
This guy is not actually, he was in a Marilyn Manson video. So he's not, he was like definitely a
right.
Who you imagine he'd be, but you wouldn't think he'd be in a Marilyn Manson video, weirdly.
Huh. This reminds me of this guy one of my friends used to date many years ago. She told me he had a tattoo like right below where your underwear starts, and it said, babe, I'm gonna leave you.
Right, which is a Led Zeppelin song, right?
Yes, but the placement in particular was a...
Right. That's cute, though. That's like, see, I like but that. It's right in your face.
Yeah, you know, stabbing you in the front. You're right.
Yeah,
literally.
It's not really what you were talking about, Caitlin. Sorry, but like, I like the forwardness, in a way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, there's no confusing what type of relationship this was going to be.
Yeah, is a man or a woman?
With the tattoo.
Tattoo, yeah.
It was a man.
Okay, okay. Yeah. See, I believe that. That's believable too.
Okay. All right. So back to Hannah Ann.
Oh.
Obviously, she came back the next morning, and Madison's going on and on about the sex thing, and she's just sitting there with her eyes wide open, wanting to blur. I mean, imagine being 22. Your hormones are raging. You and your friends talk about is sex probably all the time. And there you are, bursting at the seams, just wanting to say, we banged last night.
What do you guys think happened there? Wait, I'm glad you're saying this. The fogged window. And then why would they film that? I mean, I know sex happened.
It was a shower, wasn't it?
Is that a shower?
I think that was a walk-in shower.
I think it must have been, right? Like a bathroom or shower. It was off of the bedroom. Because they were showing like the bed was in the other room that they were filming in, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starting in the shower, that's a good move. You know, especially since you've, you know, been out on a date, you moved around, you're kind of sweaty. That's a good way to get the mood set.
It's just so, like, they had sex, but was that for cameras? That part with the
I mean, they might have said, can you go in the shower so we can at least, so we can get like one shot of you.
Doing the Titanic hand.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
That's back the to our second record. Titanic reference of today's mm-hmm. podcast.
Well, that's Caitlin's.
That was my old research
right.
area.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Oh, we got to keep going then.
No. That's all I know. Yep.
One time I was in Vegas. Didn't we talk about the Paris Hotel last time, Vegas? You said easier. You didn't like Vegas.
No, I like Vegas.
I swear you said you didn't like.
I like Vegas.
Well, I stayed at the Paris looking out over the Bellagio. And you know how when Celine Dion did her residency there, the water show, which is this, for anyone who's not been to the Bellagio, it's this super elaborate water show that's out front. It plays that song from Titanic, near, far, over and over and over all night.
Oh,
it's like
every
20 minutes.
My heart will go
20
on.
Minutes. Yeah. And it would just come right through the window. That's our third Titanic reference.
That the Titanic soundtrack, right? So the Celine Dion song is the only one that has lyrics mm-hmm. on that soundtrack. All the others are like instrumentals that play during scenes. Mm-hmm. That one of the songs that's an instrumental charted in the top 10 on Billboard. And everyone was like, this is wild. It's the song that plays as like they're boarding the ship and it's about to leave port. It's called Southampton. But it's literally like an instrumental song where like it's wild to me. But yeah, they're like, that's crazy. The soundtrack is so popular that this song that has no lyrics in it is also like a top 10 song.
Weird.
This is some deep bachelor master's knowledge. All right, Ezar, you had some clips to play, right? Or clips here? Okay.
Yes. Okay. So let's start by saying that there are tears to this conversation that Madison and Peter have, and in retrospect, Luke and Hannah had. It's one thing to say, I won't have sex with you.
We're on to Madison now.
Well, yeah, that's what my clips are based. That's what the whole episode was about.
So we'll go Hannah Ann, Madison, and then we'll come back to Victoria F.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's one thing to say, I won't have sex with you. That is a totally legitimate thing to say. No one can tell you that's wrong.
Right.
Second tier is you shouldn't have sex with anyone else. Is that okay to say? Sometimes it's okay to say. Like, imagine if Cassie would have said that to Colton. That would have been okay, right?
Yeah.
Because he probably wouldn't have. And he's a virgin, so it's okay to be like, don't get it. Don't do three in a row. You'll get too confused.
You'll get too confused.
Yeah.
Well, I swear I have a strong memory of saying on this podcast, imagine being 25 and losing your virginity to three hot women in the span of 6 days. That'd be amazing.
I can't imagine being a virgin and taking on this challenge. Like, what
a way to lay some pipe.
I mean, for Colton, it was like he might do it. But for Madison, it was a definite no. Why even... sometimes the... I don't want to call her a pioneer, but sometimes like the first ones to do something. Like, there's so much pressure on them. Why would you do that to yourself? Have someone else do it who she strongly believes, but she doesn't have the... Like, it sounds like it should be more of a project than it should be just someone being tossed into the group. Unless it's someone's goal to get this message out.
I've lost track of what you're talking about.
Well, just that Madison applied to go on The Bachelor, and she knew if she liked him that at some point she was going to have to be confronted with this. But it seems like a whim. It doesn't seem like something that was planned.
Yeah,
the way it should be.
Exactly. And I think that's some of the criticism I've been seeing online is she waited until after the fourth person was cut. That's when she broke it. She wasn't saying this all along.
Yeah. And she didn't even really break it then. That conversation
she couldn't talk. Yeah.
Yeah. She did not bring up then that she was a virgin, right? She just brought up how it would bother her if he had sex with other people. But I feel like that would have added more context if she had said, like, I'm saving myself for marriage. That gives him more information than just she left out. Yeah, exactly. Right. Than otherwise, because I feel like if you don't know that, what he could have read it as is like, I would be very jealous. I would be upset about that. But that it's not necessarily a deal breaker. Right. Whereas if you have the added context of like, well, you know, I'm extremely religious. I'm adding to that, that I'm saving myself for marriage, which is why it would be extra upsetting to me if you slept with these other people.
It seems the consensus view is that he likes her the best, or did, right? And so if she had not forgotten how to speak during that bench talk, and she said what you're saying, Caitlin, it could very well be that he would have chose to not spend the night with the other two, and everything would have worked out rosy, but... She didn't say those things and clammed up and couldn't talk. And so now we know what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it would have been hard for him in terms of...
In more ways than one.
Because he's clearly, like, such a horny dude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we got to talk about him then. Let's keep going on Madison, and then we'll talk about Victoria. Then we should come back and talk about Peter specifically.
Okay, so the third tier of this is, I can't keep dating you if you have sex with someone else. That is an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. And that's what you don't want to get to.
Right.
So Madison didn't even say the second thing or the first thing.
She's right? jumped right to the third thing.
She jumped. So the three things again are, I won't have sex with you, which is okay. And you can kind of state that later, or you can kind of let them know day of or minutes before it could possibly happen. You can still say that.
Yes.
Second tier, you shouldn't have sex with anyone else. That's not what she said. And then third, I can't keep dating you if you have sex with someone else. That's kind of what she said.
Right.
But so I want to play as a parallel what Luke said.
Okay.
Not because they are parallel conversations, but they're the only difference is the adult language that Madison uses. And her open-ended kind of format. But there's nothing really wrong if we take what Luke says and put it in Madison's mouth and Madison speak, it still sounds similar to me. So let's start off with her saying, don't have sex, and I'm asking you not to.
Next week you were to, like, sleep with somebody else, like, it would be really hard for me to, like... Like, really, like, move forward in this. That is really important to me.
So what are you, like, saying? Like, if I were to just, like, spend the night with someone else, this is not something that you could do.
I think it's going to be really hard for me if that's the case, but I just...
So that's a no. Like, what are you asking?
No, I'm not asking that. I just...
I feel like it's not necessarily fair to the relationships that I have in there.
Like, if you told me you're having... sex, or you had sex with one or multiple of these guys, I'd be wanting to go home.
It's just that you're questioning me, that you're judging me, and feel like you have the right to when you don't at this point.
Okay, so that's don't
they're
have sex from both of them.
More similar than I remember.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what really gets to me is that people remember the feeling they had when they watched selected clips. They don't remember what was actually said. So here we go with them asking them not to have sex. Now, in Madison's, this is not a defense, but Madison did kind of say it before Fantasy Suites week. Luke said it on his Fantasy Suite date.
This is great. I bet you no other podcast is actually lining this up like you are, AZR.
It's important. It's important for our master thesis.
Bachelor master's thesis.
Yeah.
No, I see what you're saying, EZR, in that because so Madison did, even though I feel like she was really not super clear in her request, that she did say it before the dates happened, whereas Luke said it at a point where it was like, well, she either has or she hasn't, but she couldn't make a decision based on whether or not she wanted to follow your request or not. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because things had already occurred or would have had the opportunity to occur, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And in our viewer mind, because we already hated Luke, he was already viewed as jealous, whereas Madison is viewed as righteous. So we have to, there is context. Of course there's context. But in terms of what was said and what was asked and what was demanded, or however you want to, you know, organize that, there is super similar. And Madison, okay, even if we factor out for gender, which is huge, because Madison asks in a very unsure way, and Luke doesn't. But let's factor out for that. It's still the same conversation. So my next clip is them, both of them, Madison and Luke, asking the lead not to have sex.
I don't want to tell you like yes or no.
I mean, that's like obviously something that I think I need to know right now. Because you're saying that you don't want me to spend, or you wouldn't be able to keep this going with me if I spent the night with anyone else. Just so I can be clear.
In no way do I want to, like, give you like an ultimatum or like tell you what you can do or can't do at all. Like, and I hope you know that, and I hope you know my heart. But I don't know, for me, like, actions speak louder than words, and I'm just really big on that.
That was Madison speaking before the Fantasy Suite week. This is Madison speaking during the Fantasy Suite week, but at the end of it.
The same life decisions. And I don't expect that for you or for anybody. But I do expect at this point for us to be honest about the expectations that we do have. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
I respect the hell out of you for being able to make that commitment to yourself, to save that for marriage. And that's such a beautiful thing in my eyes. And that's not me. And we're different in that regard. What are your expectations for me then?
For me personally, I wouldn't be able to say yes to an engagement and continuing to like move forward if you have slept with the other woman. And I'm not in any way trying to like come across as like judgmental or like hold something over your head. But at the same time, like those are my expectations that I'd have in life.
So just to like, again, be very clear, you would want to possibly give up like forever with each other because of something that happened this week.
In a week from now, if you're down on one knee, and 6 days before that, you slept with somebody else like that, I just can't wrap my mind around that. Like,
I'm willing to do or work through anything. You're right. I don't have the right to ask you that. But to me, I just want to know what's going on. Because
but you did.
You're right. Because of the trust.
That was Luke talking at the end, saying basically the same thing. But I like how Madison blames the show format for what's wrong. So she knows the show format. No one, she can't say ever that there's something wrong there. I mean, there is something wrong there, but that's not the point. She signed up. And Luke doesn't do that. Luke doesn't say, you know, we live in a society where people expect you to have sex on this show because that's part of getting to know somebody. He could have done that, but Madison did. So therein lies kind of the that's a little bit of a gender issue too, where sometimes you can blame societal forces, but Luke doesn't. He says, you know, what he says, but anyway, so that's my kind of my first parallel conversations that they have. But here's my second one. Luke and Madison are both mad when they find out that the lead has had sex. And I just want to address how people have said, and Craig, you sent this to me, that Luke called Hannah Brown a slut, which he didn't. And Madison says something about him too. So let's listen to that. It's short.
I'm so frustrated with him. I'm so mad at him.
Like, you were just like, you know what? I want to just have sex with everyone and see what it's like. And yeah, I would be like, okay, I'm going to talk to you, but you know what? Like, I'm out of here.
They both said that they're out of here if they have sex.
That's true. I'm just laughing really hard at Luke's, like, if you just want to see what it's like.
Yeah. He did say in his thing, he's like, if you have a slip up. It's like, right. Well, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, that was probably what sealed the
that
deal.
That was a very weird way of referring to them.
So, in conclusion,
like, I'll just be very honest and I won't give any details, but I have been intimate and
Jesus still loves me.
Oh boy. Maybe this is just a me thing, but Peter's phrasing of I have been intimate sounds so much creepier to me than when Hannah was just like, well, I've had sex.
I've been intimate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh, please don't.
Well, maybe this is a good time to actually divert and talk about Peter specifically. I know we're going out of order now. But, I mean, maybe we don't end up talking about Victoria F because, like, who really cares, right?
I feel.
Okay, all right, we'll get to Victoria F. But I do feel like we should do a treatment on Peter himself because I don't know if we've done that too much this season.
Yeah, fine. But I think that the way he said things and the way he addressed Madison and even asking her, what are you asking of me? I gained a little bit of respect for him because he was clear. He asked and listened. And he said things tactfully when necessary.
Peter did?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think that was tactful.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Like, you're not going to want someone, if you're not trying to hurt them, you don't want to say, I have had sex. Like, he was trying to protect
her. Okay, specifically, that's true. I was going to disagree on him being a tactful conversationalist. I think he doesn't listen.
Episode. Yeah. With Madison only.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with EZR. I think that conversation at, like, that dinner portion of the date with Madison, I think he did, in general, handle it pretty well in that he was trying to be really clear. He was trying to make her be really clear in her expectations, right? That he was really trying to say, like, okay, what do you want? What do you expect from me? You know, things like that. He wasn't just sort of like purely reacting to what she was saying. It was clear that he was really trying hard to, like, get it right, to communicate well.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Yeah, he's not good with silence. He has to jump in. Like, I think season-wise, he always cuts people off. He has to jump in and in some sort of need to clarify. He seems to be constantly cutting people off when they're trying to explain. And even on the bench, he was doing that. She was trying to get her words out. She couldn't get her words out. And rather than just kind of be there and be silent, which is okay, he just kind of kept pushing her, which I think drove her further away. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't know what we knew.
He doesn't know what we knew.
That's true. He didn't know what she was not explicitly telling him.
Basically. Well, he could have sat there and listened, and she would have told him.
I don't think she would have.
I don't know if she would have either. She seemed to have such a hard time saying anything, right? I don't know if she would have been super clear if he was just silently kind of sitting there the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If someone's telling you, I have something to tell you, and unless they blurt out someone died or I'm having a kid or something huge, you're kind of like, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to, I think he was asking the right questions. And in general, I agree that he's not super, like you said, well, he doesn't let pauses take form and mm-hmm. let people unwind whatever they're trying to say. But in this case, she said, I have something important to tell you. And then she didn't say it.
Right. Okay. All right. And I do give him some credit, because if you jump forward to Victoria F, he kind of talked her back into it. I think there was a slight moment there when Victoria F was going to leave the dinner table. That was it. Because she was going on about, if I say something that you don't like, or if I tell you about my past, I don't want you to sound like you're judging it or whatever. He talked his way out of that. He's like, well, listen, if you tell me that something came out wrong, I want you to give me the benefit of the doubt so I can find the right thing to say. And that was the right thing to say. And so I give him credit there. But anytime I think of any conversation he's had with a woman, either last night or via the whole season, I only can remember what he said, because he's talking 90% of the time. And this is coming from someone who talks a lot. I'm a talker, and I think he talks a lot. So what's that saying?
You're very critical of you.
I am. I'm very self-aware.
But then you keep doing it. Stop doing it.
Well, it's a podcast.
No.
If we were on video, like YouTube, I suppose I could use hand gestures.
You can stop talking with your hands.
Yeah, we should have stop signs that we hold up when we don't.
I know everyone, we all know about Victoria F behind the scenes, but I can't be as critical of this relationship as much as the internet is based on this fantasy suite conversation. I have something more or less to say about what I call these eggshell relationships that she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, Craig, again, to what you call these defining moments, those to me are the turning point relationships, because they're so traumatic. They're terrifying for both men and women. These are the relationships where you're scared of saying something wrong or doing something wrong because your partner is going to freak out or flip out.
Yeah.
I've been in two of those, and it really conditions you to become this different person in all aspects of life. You will change as a human, and your fate will be radically different if you get attached or if you are long-term in one of these relationships.
Are you saying that she's the one that would flip out, or he's the one that would flip out?
I'm saying, no. So Victoria F. had a little thing she said. Could be true or couldn't be. Maybe it's
You mean
true.
In her past relationship?
She said in her past relationship,
yeah, okay.
She was scared of what she was going to say was going to turn out wrong. And in consequence, that's what she did.
Right.
And I think this is one of those equal opportunity traumas. Both men and women get conditioned by these relationships. And it does hinge on how much you care as the victim or whatever about the person, the person that makes you feel that way.
Yeah. This leads to what I wanted to say about Peter. Another thing I wanted to say about Peter. Remember, what was it? Hannah Brown season. Maybe it was Peter. You thought he was cute, mm-hmm. but nothing about him was particularly special. Remember, I likened it to a video game when you select the Mario Kart player And Mario is always super even across all of the skills, whereas some have higher ones than others. You know what I'm talking about?
I think you were talking about Peter, but
I think we were talking about Peter. Like, he's a cute guy, but there's nothing that's particularly special about him. And now I don't think he's that cute at all, and there's nothing special about him.
Well,
like,
you know,
he's an average dude.
Would you not say the thing that's special about him, because I think this is what The Bachelor would say, is that he's a pilot.
He's a pilot. I think, you know, we talked about this the very first episode of the season, where I think, Ezra, you were saying, like, what is it about pilots or something, or why aren't there more women pilots?
Oh, and okay, yeah.
I think there's
no one's
some
attracted to pilots.
Yeah, it's like, is pilot really that special of a job now? I mean, there's like 40,000 planes in the air at any given moment or something.
Okay, I'm not going to.
But Peter, let me finish my point. Okay. My point is that he's not special. And all it takes is him being nice to Victoria F. And she's so in love with him suddenly. Like, there was a point where I actually felt sorry for Victoria F. Given all that she's done, I felt sorry for her, because she must have been dating some real scumbags all her life. That all it takes is a guy being average for her to fall head over heels.
Okay.
It's unfortunate.
Peter is a sweet guy who has a good family and has a good upbringing. And even
the
lady
home to me.
that
his
found
parents
him in
are the
street.
Thing that is special about him.
Yeah. His parents
That's
and their relationship.
That's what a love story is, Peter.
Oh, well, my God. His mom is so good at acting. I mean, I don't know if it's acting, but she does a very good job.
He's watched too many soap operas. But even the lady that found him on the street said, "You're a good guy." I mean,
you're a good
guy.
Something?
Yeah. Doesn't that mean something?
No, it means nothing. It means you're a good guy.
Well, you know, you're saying it like being a good guy is not special, but unfortunately, it is a little special.
Right, it is a little special.
That's why I feel
the bar
sorry
is very
Victoria.
Low for men. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. That is a good conclusion to that, but which is really unfortunate. And I feel bad for Victoria F. that she
wasn't Colton
me,
just a good guy.
I don't know if Colton was a good guy.
I feel like he probably
was kind of a douche. I mean, you remember how he treated us at that.
That's because you met him.
Park.
That's because, right, you saw him in real life. But I'm saying just on TV.
He totally ignored us.
Right. Just on TV, though.
Yeah. I feel like my impression of him on TV watching his season, which was the first season I ever watched of The Bachelor, is that I thought he was a little boring at times, probably a little dumb, but he did seem nice.
Mm-hmm. When you were watching Colton's season, did you ever think you'd be doing a podcast about the show?
No.
you should have said yes. Of course
You're
I
like,
did.
Yeah, that's why I got into it, Craig.
Okay, but Victoria F., if anyone can help undo the trauma of one of these eggshell relationships, it's a good guy like that. Because he really did do that. He said, "Please don't worry about that. Work with me here." And that is a good, that's a more impressive than you think trait.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think I've been in a relationship like that where you're constantly concerned about, like, oh, what will they think of me if I say this? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're not being yourself because you're so worried about projecting this image that will be exactly the thing that person wants.
Yeah. And maybe to his credit, because he's never been hurt, he's able to kind of say, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal, without minimizing Victoria F's experience, but also saying, you're in a new relationship now. You're with me. We're okay. That kind of forgiveness or that kind of platitude can really go a long way for someone if she's actually traumatized and hurt and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she's so in love with him, so whatever he did,
that was pretty sudden.
Yeah. Let's see here. Madison's gone. We're stuck with the 22-year-old and the racist. This is not going to end well.
Well, do we think that Madison is gone? Gone.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Or,
that's a good point.
I mean, I'm assuming that that's who his mom is talking about now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
You know, I guess I didn't put that together.
Oh my God, Craig, who do you think she was talking about?
I don't know.
You don't know the producer lady that we don't know her name.
Oh my God. Yeah, the producer lady. We haven't talked about that rumor at all, I think, have we?
No. Now
that he ends up with a producer rumor.
Yeah, which, I mean, it would be interesting, I guess, if he did, though I feel like I would never be able to date someone who was intentionally manipulating me in the way that a producer manipulates the lead, you know? Right.
Well, that's kind of the thinking there, that it's a, what's that called? Like Stockholm Syndrome. Something more specific. I feel like
in the show Unreal, you know, the producer, main character, she bangs the bachelor guy.
It's not I don't consider this a spoiler because it is,
I mean, there's no way
there is a possibility. There's a picture of them. And I never look at the spoilers.
Think he breaks up with everyone, goes home, tells his mom that he's in love with the producer, and that's who she wants him to bring home?
No, I haven't thought it out that much. No, not even a full sentence.
So, Caitlin, you think that he takes Hannah and Victoria home, but then afterwards says to his parents, that's not who my number one choice was. It's this girl, Madison, and that's who she says bring home?
I feel like that I'm assuming at this point that that's the conversation he has with his parents, is that, you know, he was really into Madison, but she left, and he gives them the background and all of that, and then the mom freaks out, but she has, like, the mom has met Madison, right? So
right, at the wedding. Yeah. Val Reno. I totally forgot about that.
So there is, like, a context for bring it up to say, like, well, there was Madison. Like, she might even ask what happened to that girl, Madison, you know?
But why the crying? I think that's the hard part to see.
Because she's a mom who cries.
No. Something happens where maybe he comes in crying because something, like, this might be immediate.
I think he probably has to seem pretty upset about whatever he's telling them. Yeah. Or like, really like, oh my God, I'm in love with her and she left me. And like, and maybe that's what prompts the mom.
Okay.
That reminds me of,
we're getting,
like,
towards the end here. We only have, so we have
2 weeks.
Monday, and then Tuesday's the women tell, or is that going to be on the same night maybe?
Who knows?
And then there's a 2-night finale in 2 weeks. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday.
Well, they're not. They're just asking for seniors for the thing. There's not a 6-show. I think Dancing with the Stars.
Our listeners might not know about this.
Mm.
So, yeah,
they
watch specials. No. Do you know, Caitlin? Because you don't. You watch on Hulu. There's no commercials.
There's commercials, but they're never like, you know what I mean? They're always the same thing for like some sort of medication or something. They're not for current shows.
Well, they teased that they're going to have a Bachelor for Seniors.
Well, they solicited. They didn't like say, here's some clips.
Right.
Damn. They said,
if you're a senior, casting is happening or something.
Yeah, we've already had 30-year-olds.
Legitimately.
Well, they've already had 30-year-olds on the show. What kind of seniors are they looking for?
Well, let's say they do this, and if they're casting now, then it would potentially be ready to air around the new year. So that means there would be 6 Bachelor shows in the span of a year.
Okay, so Bachelor shows alternate with Dancing with the Stars. And sometimes on a Tuesday night, if, you know, we're going to take
account. Well, the most we've ever had is
Bachelor
4
in Paradise.
Is when they had Winter Games. The most we've ever had is 4.
I know, but I don't think they're doing a year-round Bachelor thing unless they're going to take over Tuesday nights as well.
Well, now's a good time to talk about this. Are we going to podcast this Song of Your Love thing?
Oof.
I don't know if we should. I assume it's going to air between Bachelor and Bachelorette.
See, this is what was frustrating, is that the live versions made it sound like it was going to be like the proposal. But then when they showed the clips, it looks like it's a regular Bachelor show with live performances like sprinkled in.
Yeah.
Like a date.
Yeah.
With
I'm leaning towards we maybe do every 2 weeks. Like, let's say there's 6 episodes. We only do 3 podcasts.
Why don't we just do it And then if it's really bad in the first 2 weeks, we give up.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Are we thinking the same thing for the summer games thing?
Have you seen they're thinking about postponing the Olympics because of the coronavirus?
I hadn't yet, but I mean, that makes sense.
So that means they couldn't really show summer games without the Olympics being on at the same time. All right, whatever. We'll do what we can. Okay, what's next? What's the last thing on the list here, EZR?
That's it.
That's it? We spent this whole podcast without tangenting once.
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
We got to talk about... When's the ice skating world championships?
Ooh, let me double check now. They should be in March, but I can't remember the exact date. Let me Google.
Oh my
God. That's longer than I thought.
Wow. Yeah, that is long. So it's March 16th through the 22nd is when they're on.
That was just so we can be clear here. Those were ice skates that we just heard.
Better
yes.
Be. Oh.
Yeah, like
could be like ripping fabric.
No,
Kelsey as a clothier.
Have neither of you heard this noise before? It's, you know, it's like the ice crunching noise when you're doing a really deep edge and you're skating.
Yeah, it just sounded a little different, muffled or something.
I heard it, you know. I think last time I went ice skating was third grade. Yeah, then.
Cool. Okay, we'll do our ice skating with Caitlin. When that happens.
Yeah, my friend Jocelyn, who listens to our podcast.
Oh, hi. Hey, Jocelyn.
Hey, Jocelyn.
Hello.
Had said that when she heard the ice skating segment the last time, she was like, you should have a skating podcast.
Ooh, a spinoff ice skating podcast. I don't imagine, this is no knock on ice skating, but I don't imagine there's that many ice skating podcasts. We could corner the market.
But I don't love the one that's like the most popular one. I'm not a huge fan of the commentators.
Hmm. All right, let's keep that in the back of our mind. Especially
Craig. Like Caitlin, do what she needs to do.
The Winter Olympics are in 2 years, right?
Yeah, they're 2022.
2 years is a perfect time to plan and execute and get popular a podcast.
Yeah. I guess it's something to consider.
Something to consider, okay.
Shut down.
Yeah, wait. I took something to consider as a positive thing. You're taking it as a negative thing.
Taking it as like a... Yeah, we'll see. Like when I tell any kid that.
Well, maybe me and Jocelyn will do it then.
Yeah.
Jocelyn, okay, if you're out there,
go crazy.
I'm ready and willing to podcast about a sport I know nothing about. Okay, well, let's call it there. And yeah, I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.